when you feel that your world is all over, no one cares for you. Lift up your eyes and look at the sky, there's a patch of blue. You know that he cares. Jesus, he will see you through the storm. Oh yeah. And when the tears start to fall from your eyes like the rain from above, God send us peace that will fill your heart with his love, because you called on Jesus. You know that the Lord walks beside you, you can walk along, knowing that Jesus is with you. You now have a song to sing, to sing to Jesus. Jesus, he will see you through the storm. Oh yeah.
I don't know why you much you love me. Thought you died for me.
Don't we? I sure hope you do know how much he loves you. He loves you so much. It's incredible. There's no words to explain. Welcome to the broadcast today. Here we are again, and it is the last day, well, the last Friday, that is, of the month of May already. So here we are going into June. And so, wow, how quickly this year has moved on by. Well, anyway, we're glad to have you tuning in today. The Lord bless you tonight and pray that you will be encouraged and built up in the Lord and your walk with him and drawn closer to him as we just seek the Lord and get into his word here in a moment after we have the evening news here. So let's all go ahead and open up with some news and then we'll get into God's word for the evening. Hallelujah. Well, you know, somebody died this week. A lot of people died this week, but Tina Turner dies at 83 years old. She was not a godly woman at all and most likely went to the wrong place, the bad place. And so sad, but hope that her family will get saved, whatever family she has. Target moves LGBTQ displays, but still celebrate Pride Month. Well, still will celebrate Pride Month while Target stock sinks nearly 10% already amid the Pride backlash and, you know, having that Satanist design clothing and put the Satan's head on the clothes like that. I mean, man, that's not, I mean, how much more blatant do you have to be than they were in that? So why should we support a store that will support Satan like that? Openly, you know, putting that on there. Anyway, largely unnoticed, World Health Organization moves forward with global governance. They plan, the plans that they have rival the George Orwell novel. They intend to have surveillance over every person on earth, and they intend to control us through the healthcare systems of the world. And that's why you don't want to give up your decision-making authority and, yeah, to go to the director of WHO. You know, they have a very different agenda at hand, says Michelle Bachmann. According to Matt Walsh of the Daily Wire, Fox News stance on woke ideology, he says that Fox has embraced radical leftism in its most extreme form. Employees are allowed to use bathrooms that align with their gender identity rather than their biological sex, and they're permitted to dress in the gender of their choice. And they must also be addressed by their preferred name and pronoun and gender in the workplace. Wow. Well, they're supposed to be conservative, but how conservative are they, really? Woke activists try to shut down Colorado Church for speaking out the truth on biblical sexual ethics. That's right, the Well Church in Boulder, Colorado. And because the church preaches the truth about male and female and that marriage is between a man and a woman, well, all these activists and journalists and even local school board member are trying to get them evicted from their building or place that they rent to hold services. Well, that's just persecution, right? That's persecution by devils in people. So this is the condition that we see increasing in the land, and I'm sure will increase more before Jesus comes. 1/4 of all Canadians back lethal injections for the homeless and poor in Canada. That's terrible. They want to go ahead and have the government assisted suicide on homeless and poor people. And Canada has the most liberal assisted suicide laws in the world right now, in case you didn't know that. That's pretty bad, folks. Pretty bad situation there in Canada. And you all know John Kerry, the guy who ran for president, didn't win. Thank God he didn't win. But anyway, he's still hold position in the Biden administration. But he said that farmers need to stop growing food in order to achieve net zero climate goals for the global warming climate agenda and all that. Well, that's old Kerry at it again, saying farmers worldwide should stop growing food, as it is the only way for leftists to achieve their net zero climate goals. Really? Man, that's sick, isn't it? I mean, that's going to kill everyone on the earth, including himself. I mean, everybody eats food from growth in some form or another. I mean, if you eat meat, you're eating food that comes from growing grains and things that they eat. So this man is insane in his way of thinking, to think that, well, yeah, we're going to just stop all farming and growing food, and we'll stop all life on planet Earth. You stop doing it pretty much. I mean, what are you going to eat, bugs? that's what they like, yeah, bugs. Well, anyways, that's how really weird and crazy people are getting in this day and time that we're living in. It's absolutely amazing the way people are thinking. They've not even got sane minds anymore. But, you know, the Bible says in these latter days, and people are going to be given over to, you know, deception, basically, be given over to this stuff, and they're not going to get it. Calvin Klein advertisement featuring a trans man in a sports bra has triggered a backlash on that company, and North Face has partnered with a drag queen in advance of LGBTQIA plus Pride Month. Is June Pride Month, supposedly. June is just June, but even selling children's clothing, in gay rainbow colors as part of its Out in Nature collection. Oh, what a day, huh? What a day. Weeks after born-again Christian Congresswoman Lauren Boebert of Colorado filed for divorce, what happened? Well, from her husband, due to irreconcilable differences, San Fuchs is shooting down rumors that he was involved in an extramarital relationship with her and threatened to sue over adultery rumors with Boebert. Boebert also said that did not happen at all and is upset about it as well, and that she was a faithful wife of her husband during the time that she had been married to him. So anyway, that's just the things that people do out there to try to destroy people that God is using. And let's get used to that. I mean, that's part of life. I mean, persecution is going on. 193 churches leave the United Methodist denomination over same-sex issues. And, well, yeah, that's pretty disgusting what's been going on there in the United Methodist Church. But anyway, Franklin Graham doesn't hold back at the National Religious Broadcasters meeting, conference, and warns that a storm is coming. And we all need to be prepared for the storm. So that we're living within a cancel culture and to be prepared. And corporations want to destroy Christian organizations, and they want us to be put out of the way. So what do we do with all that? Well, be prepared for more persecution in the latter days, because that's what's going on, okay? And it will increase, and that's in the Bible. That's nothing new. But now we're seeing these things really start to take effect in a major way, and I don't think most Christians are prepared for that. And so I think that, just like he said, that people need to get prepared for that, because we are living in the latter days, okay? So anyway, let's go ahead and continue on, and we're going to open up in prayer this evening as we get going, and lift up several that need prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you. We thank you for another opportunity to gather here together and give you the glory for that. We praise you. We worship you. We honor you. We thank you for your goodness, your greatness, your mercy, your abundant supply that you give to each of us, and that abundance of grace in our lives, Father. Hallelujah. We glorify your name, and we thank you this day for your love for us, that you are very much with us every day of our lives. You said you'd never leave us nor forsake us, and we believe that, Lord. I thank you for that. I rejoice in that wonderful promise that you will never leave me nor forsake me. Father, bless our time that we have together, Father, tonight, and we cover the broadcast tonight with the blood of Jesus, and every listener, too, that you administer to them, and Lord, meet them at the point of their need, Lord, what they're going through in life, Lord, and minister to encouragement to them and your love to them in Jesus' name. We thank you for that tonight, Lord. And we lift up this other person that is under attack right now, and they've been under attack, they say, for many years now, and since they got involved in such and such situation, Lord, we ask you to just redeem that situation that they're in, Lord. We bind the enemies over their lives and pray that they would see things turn around in their life, Father, for your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. And pray for, Lord, continued recovery of some people, that another person that is suffering with their cancer right now, Lord. We pray for their recovery, Lord. We pray, we rebuke the cancer in Jesus' name, Lord, and we pray for a turnaround in their life, that they will live and not die in Jesus' name. And thank you for healing their body. We rebuke death off of them in Jesus' name and speak life over their bodies tonight in Jesus' name, for your glory, Father. Turn things around in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, Lord. And we pray for another who had operation, their continued recovery, so they'll be able to return to work, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for healing in his body, Lord, as well from this surgery, Lord, that he will continue to recover, Lord, that which the enemy has tried to steal from him, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you for ministering to those who are sick, Lord, to minister to those who are sick tonight that listen to this broadcast. If there be sickness in their body, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. We rebuke it in Jesus' name and pray for healing in their bodies. And Lord, we pray for David that God will choose the prison that he will be sent to, that it'll be the best place for him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for taking care of this man, Lord, all the days of his life, and letting him serve you with all of his heart, Lord. Bring him to that place where he's fully surrendered and yields and repents for all, and turns to you, Lord, with all of his heart, all his spirit, soul, and body, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for him. ministering to him. Lord, and we thank you for ministering to everyone who's listening tonight in the way that they need to be ministered to tonight. In Jesus' name, and we cover this broadcast again with the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory. Everybody say amen. Say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, well, next week, we're going to receive communion during the broadcast. So that's next Friday night will be Communion Friday night, along with the message and some deliverance, whatever we have time for. But we do want to receive communion together and let the Lord really minister to us all in that way. Praise God. All right, we're going to talk about putting away the bindings tonight. That's the title tonight. Again, welcome you to the broadcast tonight. Welcome to this live service tonight. And praise God that he has, yes, reconciled with the Lord. I pray that you keep in that way and draw him nearer every day, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, we're going to start out with a scripture tonight, because here we see the nation of Israel having some problems after they've had some major victory. And now they're not having the victory, and what's going on? And a lot of Christians today have had some victories in their life, but now they're not having the victories, and they've got some bondage going on and some things binding them up. What's going on with Christians nowadays, some of the Christians? We're going to find out tonight some of that. So let's go to Joshua 7 and start reading at verse 2. Here we go. Joshua 7, verse 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spoke unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for there are but a few. In other words, there's just a small army there in Ai. Surely that a couple thousands or 2,000 or 3,000 soldiers could easily take Ai. So they went up thither of the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. This is how terrible it was. I mean, how could this happen? We just took Jericho. We just whooped this huge city, this powerful city. And now here we just, you know, defeated them and now went up against it little minute Ai and were defeated. What went wrong? They ended up fleeing from little Ai and losing 36 soldiers. Now we could blame it on God and say, well, why didn't God come through for us, like many Christians do when something goes wrong? God failed us. And when something goes wrong and doesn't work out right, many Christians do this. I mean, they God has failed me. He let me down. And, you know, what happened, God? Why did this happen to me? Why is this going on? What's going on here? It wasn't because of the strength of the enemy that they were defeated. Ai had only a very small army. And although sometimes we say, too, oh, the devil is so strong, that's why we had this terrible defeat in our life. That's why these demons won't leave, because the devil is so strong and powerful. No, no, no. That's not it at all. No, the cause of the defeat lay somewhere else. And many times the cause of our problem lays somewhere else, too. And we need to be willing to look at everything, and starting with us, okay? What was it? Well, look at back here at Joshua 7:11. And Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also. And they have put it, even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel, that thou cannot stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Well, there's the answer. God had a word for them, told them, listen, you guys are taking somebody there, is taking stuff, and it's affected the whole country of Israel, the whole nation. So what's going on? What was the lesson here for us? Well, I think we got a lot to learn here. Okay? Anything that we're holding on to, which is contrary to the plan of God, the word of God, no matter how deeply hidden within us it is, it will cause us to fall before our enemy. And perhaps maybe it's simply the curse of worldliness that people hold on to that we refuse to let go of. Or maybe it's the curse of holding something against another person. Maybe you have ought against them. Maybe you have some unforgiveness. Well, that brings the curse. That brings the devil there. I mean, or could it be just holding on to some accursed objects in your home? Maybe you're holding on to old rock music, CDs, acid rock. I don't know. Wrong magazines in your home. Wrong books in your home. Maybe it's these things that are going on in your house. You know? You have things in your home that you shouldn't, have in your home that you need to get out of there. You know, or maybe it's some wicked occult items which appear harmless to you, but you can't seem to let go of it. You're holding on to it. Or maybe it's just a self-seeking attitude. Maybe it's a refusal to obey God. Maybe you're holding on to fears and anxieties and worries. You know, that's a sin. The Bible says, fear not. And so what are you doing holding on to what God said not to hold on to? He said, don't be afraid. And he said, to cast every care on me. He said, to release these things to me. Don't be carrying them around. Maybe it's an unclean habit that you hold on to. Maybe that you just keep indulging in this unclean habit, sexual sin. And all these things can cripple or paralyze our spiritual life. And you may have hidden this evil in the furthest and remotest area of your mind, and you may have even hidden it from your own sight. Some people try to do that. Don't want to admit the things that they're involved in life. They don't want to admit that they're sin. They justify it. A lot of people justify a lot of things. Does that make it right because you justify it? No, it does not make it right because we justify them. But the fact is, though, that whatever it is a hindrance in a person's life. And in their walk with Jesus, and God may have already tried to deal with you about it, and you said, well, that's not God. That's the devil. I rebuke that. Surely that's not nothing wrong with that. Well, I remember in my own life that God said, I want you to get rid of this or that. And at times I said, well, that couldn't have been God. That's nothing wrong with that. That's just my own mind, or, you know, that couldn't be God. I mean, there's nothing wrong with this or that. And yeah, and I blew it off later to find out it was God dealing with me. And there were some things that I needed to deal with in my life. And God had his reasons for dealing with that, to go or change in my life. He wanted it to go. He wanted me to get rid of it. And there are things that you may have in your life that he wants you to get rid of or to change or to let go of or get out of your house. Get out of your life. See, the things you may have or be doing that you at this time see nothing wrong with. So you just blow God off about it. You blow off a dealing of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. He's not going to leave you, it says in the Word, but you can grieve the Holy Spirit. So do we really know it all? I mean, are we the Holy Spirit? Are we God? You know, God has reasons of which we may not know. That there may be problems behind this that are releasing demons into our life. That thing you're holding on to, maybe it's some unforgiveness there. Maybe it's some bitterness. Maybe it's some deeply embedded spirits so deep that you simply have no clue that they're there. And yet God is trying to free you from them, yet you're just not aware. And they're binding you up. They're binding you up. You know, everybody has blind spots in their life. You know, and a lot of people don't care to see that area of their lives. And we don't see everything. But I know somebody who does see everything, don't you? Yeah, it's the Holy Spirit. He sees everything. God sees everything. And maybe you're holding on to some false doctrine. I mean, a lot of Christians hold the false doctrine that a Christian can't have a demon. And if you hold on to that, no wonder there are bindings in a person's life if they're holding on to that doctrine. And there are other doctrines that are false doctrines that Christians hold on to. And the Bible says there will be heresies among you in the church. And so we need to be aware of that. I know some Christians teach that Enoch built the Great Pyramid. Well, what they don't know is that Enoch building the Great Pyramid originated from an occult demonic source of writings called the Egyptian Book of the Dead. That's right. The Book of the Dead is a series of demonic-inspired instructions and magic spells for the pharaoh to use in the company of the gods, which is the fallen angels and the demons, in the afterlife. And some Christians also teach the Great Pyramid in the Bible, and so they teach the Great Pyramid is the Bible in stone. That's right. Some Christians teach that the Great Pyramid is the Bible in stone, but the evidence is to the contrary. It is a paganism by a pagan, demonically ruled culture, perverse culture, full of perversion and pagan king's tomb. That's what the pyramids are. You know? And so I'm sorry that a lot of people are deceived in a lot of areas. Also, many cultists, such as the Rosicrucians, have gone to the Great Pyramid to gain occult power. And some Christians believe the occultist Nostradamus. They believe him and his prophecies, yet the man practiced out-of-his-body trances, that's astral projections and astrology. I mean, really? And you want to follow that man? What are you following? You're following demons when you follow Nostradamus, because he was not a godly man. He was not born again. He was not a Christian. Excuse me. So why would you want to listen to what he has to say? You think he knows the future? Look at Zechariah 10:2. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. Right? They were being led by a cultist, not a true shepherd. And we have that condition today in a lot of the church. There's a lot of witchcraft that goes on in the churches because of the rejection of deliverance, for one reason. And so we see a lot of occult stuff going on in the churches that are being embraced today. And, of course, it was in Israel, too. So is it any wonder that it's in today's Israel, today's church as well? And how we can see from Israel defeated Ai, how something that may seem insignificant can cause you to be defeated and even bound by demons in a person's life. And it'll usually be something you're used to and are holding on to, that you kind of got comfortable with. I tell you, an area that a lot of Christians are bound by are superstitions. Yeah, that's right. Superstitions. Many Christians still hold on to superstitions rooted in the occult. And these superstitions are open doors for demons to bring in demons and control a person's life. You know, oh, a black cat crossed my path, or I shouldn't walk under a ladder. Or maybe you believe in good luck or bad luck. You may even hold on to a good luck charm of some kind, a rabbit foot or some other item that seemed to help in the past at a time of a two in your life. It seemed, oh, well, this is good luck here. Well, no, luck has to do with Satan. Well, I don't even use that word as far as, you know, saying good luck to you or anything like that, or I'm expecting good luck. No, I don't taught that way because it's not biblical. It lines up with the devil, not with the Bible. And yeah, Satan will bring something for you to hold on to that'll keep an open door for spirits to operate in a person's life, and you'll think it's, you know, something you should hold on to. But it will keep causing misfortune or defeat or failures in your life. And if you just examine your life in that area, you could see a blind spot or something that they're holding on to in a person's life that should have been let go of a long time ago. But Satan is sneaky, folks. And his demons, his fallen angels are sneaky too. And the demons are sneaky. And expect a sneak attack on your life because the word said the devil is subtle. He lies, he deceives, and he sneaks around like a snake, a slithering snake, that old serpent, the devil, the Bible called him. And so we're to be aware of these things, and we're not to be ignorant of his devices. The Bible tells us not to be ignorant of the devices of darkness, and they will bring bindings in your life, and you will have many bindings in your life because the enemy got his way in, his tricks, his subtle tactics. But it may be some fear that he's been able to implant within your life. How many know there's so many different kinds of fears out there that Christians are bound by today? I mean, what, arachnophobia? I mean, there's so many different phobias. They're called fears. Fear of water, fear of spiders, fear of taxophobia. That's fear of disorder, untidiness in your home or in other people's home. I mean, there's so many. Fear of being alone, fear of flying, aviophobia. There's fear of new things and new ideas. There's fear of confined spaces. That's claustrophobia, right? You don't want to be in a little closet locked in there. Or fear of dark places, fear of making decisions, fear of animals. That's right. Fear of getting bit by an animal. There's, of course, demonophobia, which is fear of demons. I mean, people are afraid of demons today. There's fear of doctors, fear of dentists, fear of accidents. There's so many. Fear of going to church, being involved in the church, ecclesiophobia. Really, there's fear of insects. Entomophobia. That's fear of insects. Some people are afraid of spiders. The fear of hell, Hadesphobia, right? There's so many different fears that people are bound up by today. Fear of being contaminated with germs or dirt like that rich guy was. He kept trying to be away from all germs and dirt. Mysophobia, afraid that he was getting contaminated by germs. I forgot his name offhand, but yeah. He was a pilot as well and a movie star, I think some too. There's fear of hospitals. There's fear of everything. There's panophobia. How's that one? Fear of everything. You're just afraid of everything, period. I mean, whoa, right? I mean, who wants to live like that? Who wants to be bound with those kind of fears? Fear of this, fear of that, fear of pharmacopoeia, phobia. I mean, that fear of taking medicine. Ah, some people are afraid to sleep. There's fear of, having changes in their lives. Fear of strangers or foreigners is xenophobia. Fear of going to sleep. Some people are afraid to go to sleep at night. They're afraid of bad dreams. They're afraid of having nightmares. They're afraid, you know, see how many fears there are? I mean, we could go on and on and on. There's fear of flying, fear of train riding. Fear of driving your car. I've known people that didn't want to go out in the car and they wouldn't go anywhere. Fear of leaving their town. They wouldn't even leave the city they lived in. They were afraid to leave town. Couldn't take any vacation anywhere. Ah, my. You talk about bindings, these fears that people hold on to, fear of the end time, fear of the future. Fear of the past finding you out, your failures in the past, your sin in the past. Man, see, this will cause defeat in your life in some area. Or maybe it's a personal wounding that took place even in childhood that you still carry it today. It's a painful thing. something traumatic happened, or someone said or spoke over you as a child, or did it to you, and it's become your curse to keep you bound throughout your lifetime, for you've held on to it all these years. And maybe you're holding on to an unbiblical image of yourself, an unbiblical view. You see yourself in a way that the Bible says not to see yourself, a wrong view. You see yourself as so sinful or so dirty or so sexually unclean or so rejected that you've embraced Satan's lies. They keep you defeated and bound. And, you know, these things are lies of a devil, my friends. The enemy wants to lie to you, to keep you deceived in any way that he can, and keep you up in a bound thing, situation, bindings of the darkness. That's right. And you need to find where they are hidden in you and put away the darkness, the accursed thing, the accursed way of thinking, the accursed events that happened to you, and be delivered and healed from these things. See? Because you've embraced Satan's lies and they're keeping you defeated and bound, and you don't want to live your life that way. Because he's got you where you don't win in the battles and the warfares of life. And a lot of Christians are not winning, they're losing today in the battles of life and the warfares of life. And they're suffering incredibly, and they shouldn't be, but they are. Because of something accursed there in their lives. Well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about all these things? Well, you may even refuse to recognize its existence, but you need to recognize its existence, yet you are ever aware that something is still wrong in your life. See, nothing is hidden from the Lord. And we might fool ourselves and others, but you can't hide it from the Lord. You can't hide things from Jesus. Right? I mean, there's no way we can do that. We might think we can, but some people might actually think they can hide something from God. That's ignorance, right? You don't know the Bible. He sees everything that he wants to see. Well, let's go to Psalms 90 and read another verse here tonight. Psalm 90, and look at verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. See, so he sees it all. We need to face it, find it out, and face it. Because nothing will do any good till the sin is dug up from its hiding place, its hidden corner where it's been hiding, and laid before God and dealt with and repented for and confessed their sin. See, it's easy to ignore conviction. How many of you have ignored conviction? I've ignored conviction before. I admit it. Well, we've all ignored conviction by the Holy Spirit. We've justified it, you know, what we're doing, or we pushed it away out of the picture. It's easy to ignore it. The gentle voice of the Holy Spirit, the still small voice of God, speaks to us about areas of our life that remain unyielded to God, unsurrendered. Instead, we tell ourselves, all is well, while this accursed thing remains within us and we're being bound up by it. We're having bindings in our lives and causing us defeat and problems with our walk, in our walk with God, keeping us from victory that God would have us to be walking in. But God may use another Christian to say things that bring conviction to us. He might use this message to bring conviction to you. And yet we ignore it. Yet something deep inside said they're right. And you better listen up here. You better listen to these things. You know, this is not something you just need to ignore. Mm-hmm. Better listen up. Just like the person who's been bitten by some brown recluse spider, they put a Band-Aid on it and hope it'll go away, all the while it's festering and rotting the skin away under the Band-Aid, right? We put a lot of Band-Aids on in life, don't we? I tell you, we've all done that too. Put on Band-Aid, but it don't fix the problem. It don't deal with the underlying issues that are binding us up and causing us the pain and the problems. We need to get beyond the Band-Aids, go to the root problem. So in that same way of putting on bandage, it might be some hidden habit or even an innocent-looking habit hidden in the evil it really is by a band-aid of, oh, it's not really that bad, really. It's not so bad, really. It's really not a problem. Some little indulgence or some unimportant little sin. And yet this is what lies at the root of the defeat in your life and failure. So often it's some little thing undealt with, uncovered, some little accursed thing from the enemy that is still being held on to in a person's life. And we need to let go and repent for it, turn away from it, confess it as sin, and get it out. Get it out. Get the unclean out so that we can stand in victory over our enemies. Hebrews 4:13. It says here, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In other words, God sees it all. There's no place to hide this stuff. The problem here is all is not given up to God. Some secret corner in your house, you know, this is our house, our body is our house. Some secret corner is kept for self to indulge in. Some evil accursed thing is hidden in the dark recesses of our mind so that we're unable to stand before our enemies, and our enemies keep seeming to win over us. Okay? This could be an accursed thing as well as a cursed object, physical thing, as well as something in the mind. It tells you you don't need any more deliverance. It tells you you're okay. You're fully, you know, delivered. Well, I guarantee you that's not the case. Deliverance is a progressive walk, a progressive work in our life until Jesus comes. So we need to face it that we're not fully delivered, and there's more deliverance necessary. And sometimes we may go a period of time without any deliverance, but there'll come another time when you're going to need some more. You're going to need, because you'll be ready to get rid of some of the things that you weren't ready to get rid of before. And God can bring them to the surface and let you see them. Because there are times in our lives we're not ready to see them and we don't want to see them. And there may even be some rebellion left in our lives. We won't see them. But we need to cry out to God. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deliverance. Tonight is the time to lay before him open in humble repentance and letting it go and confessing it and saying, Lord, I'm sorry that I've held this in my life and I've partaken of this accursed thing when I shouldn't be partaking of it. Psalm 19, verse 18. I'm sorry, 19:12. Who can understand his errors? Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret fault. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Are you aware of these things? Let's go read another verse here. We need to cry out to God for the exposing of the intent and the content of our minds and our hearts, our souls. Hebrews 13:18. Let's go read something else here. Verse 18 here, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Are you willing and desiring to live honestly and honorably? I mean, are you willing to throw away the lies, or do you hold on to them? Hebrews 13:18, pray, again, verse 20 and 21 of chapter 13. Let me read something else here. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Through his blood, right? Through his blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus today. Without that blood, you know, we couldn't do it. But the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, it says, may he make you complete, perfect in every good work. How can this happen? Well, by getting rid of the accursed things in us. How can that happen? Well, by verse 22, it said, I beseech you, brethren, after the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in a few words. You suffer the word of exhortation. That's how. By allowing the word of exhortation. Suffer means to allow, to bear with the word of exhortation. I mean, we all need exhortation at times. We all need it. That's right, and we all need to be willing to receive it, see? And yeah, it may hurt to expose any, you know, wickedness in us, but, you know, it's good to get it out. It's good to not be bound by it anymore. You know, make this your prayer tonight as you lay before him in Psalms 139. Make this your prayer. Let's go read it here. Psalms 139. If you're looking these up, and let's read verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See, we need to stay in the way everlasting and not go in the temple way of darkness. We need to hold on to him and his word. We need to never be satisfied with this world and the lies of the devil, okay? And we not to be satisfied until we get rid of every wicked way and every binding thing in our lives and let them be exposed by the Holy Spirit. And let's confess up to our, you know, our Ananias and Sapphira secrets and holdbacks in our lives, if there are some, right? Like Ananias and Sapphira, they held back, and they were not honest with the Holy Spirit. And then we let the light of the Holy Spirit shine in these areas. Let him open wide the door of your life so Jesus can come in to clean out the filth that we have held on to. And then we'll be freer and freer and freer. We allow these processes to take place in our lives. And God is processing. I mean, remember Ananias and Sapphira, they agreed to hold on to some area of their life, which is a demon stronghold or demonically controlled area. And that's why some people are not delivered. You know there's still parts of you that you have not fully yielded to Jesus. I mean, most of us know that there's something that we have not fully yielded to Jesus. And we need to, see? A lot of times it's a spirit of control, because truly control is what most people like to be in. They want to be in control instead of letting God fully be in control. They're uncomfortable when they're not in control. You know, just let God control everything? No way. What about my children? What about my job? What about my grandchildren? What about my spouse? What about my boyfriend, my girlfriend? I've got to be in control. Well, did you ever think that maybe the reason nothing changed with all of them is because you can't be the Holy Spirit and you won't let the Holy Spirit have his way? Because if you insist on your measure, whatever that is, of control, God can't take control. God can't take control when we're in control. And he's not going to fight you for control. If you want to be in control, he'll let you be in control, and you will reap the consequences of being under the influence of an embedded spirit of control as well. Very likely you'll see consequences from that, because there's a spirit involved. Our calling is to yield and to surrender and submit to Jesus. See, only one can be on the throne of our lives. He's not going to fight you for the throne. Right? If you want to be on the throne, Jesus is just going to let you, you know, make some mistakes, right? Because that's what happens when we don't let God lead. Lord, lead us. We just need to cry that out tonight. We don't want to lead our own lives. We want you to lead our lives. Amen? Lord, lead our lives the way you want them to go. You sit on the throne of our lives. Tell him that you have my permission to put on yourself on the throne of my life, and I abdicate that throne to you. I give it to you, Lord. See, either you and the spirit of control or Jesus. And it may not be control that you agreed to hold back from God. It may be some other sin demon that you hold on to, like not fully yielding an area to Jesus, like your money. Maybe that's your money, and I'm going to do what I want with my money, and I'm not going to, you know, let God tell me what to do with my money. Or maybe it's some kind of sexual sin, or maybe it's entertainment desires. Now, this has a lot of people bound today. Maybe you hold on to the unclean entertainment of some kind. Maybe unclean comedy or romance, sexual shows, movies, or horror movies. Some people are addicted to horror movies or romance novels. This is really, you know, these are accursed things that can bind us. But the more you examine people's lives, there are unyielded, unsurrendered, or unknown areas that the demonic is... demons inhabit so that they are not fully delivered. Sometimes it could just be pride, even a religious or spiritual pride that you hold, that holds you in a place where you cannot seem to break free. You're bound. Well, pride will bind you up, that's for sure. You'll be constipated with pride. That sure will do it. I mean, pride is a binder, and it is curse, because, you know, pride goes before fall, and God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. I mean, these are the things that the Word of God says. And why would God ever lie to us? He would never lie to us. If these things are written, it is true. It is truly true. It's written by the Master. It's true. And we need to be aware of these things and not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. See, there's barrenness in the church today in many cases. And God is seeking to cause us to no longer be barren. That's right. Why is it throughout Scripture, man is never portrayed as being barren? Only woman is portrayed as being barren. Why? Because the woman is a type of the church. So throughout the Bible, the woman is a type of the church we see in many cases. And see, like the woman in Revelation, the dragon persecutes the woman, and the woman flees to the wilderness, the earth helps it, and all that, you remember that scripture perhaps. See, the failure is never on God's side, but it is on our side. But here is his present plan for the church and us, and we are part of the church. If you're barren and feeling empty, claim this for yourself tonight. Claim this for yourself tonight in Psalms 113. Let's go over to read this in Psalms 113. Excuse me. Verse 9. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. We're going to be fruitful. The church needs to be fruitful. The barren women to be fruitful and keep house. Okay? What do you think has kept the church so barren today? There are several things. Remember, we're called to be kings and priests of God. And one of the exhortations to kings was given in Deuteronomy. It says, don't go down to Egypt or to send others there for horses. Don't go down to Egypt. Don't go sending others there for horses. And they did that, of course. Isaiah 31, they did a lot of things that God told them not to do. It says, woe, verse 1, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many and in horsemen. because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his word, but will arise against the house of the evil doers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is helping shall fail. And they all shall fail together, or fall together. See? Why? Well, because in the Bible, Egypt represents the devil, the world, sin, its ways, the ways of the world. Why would a Christian go to the devil for help? We should not, you know, we're not to eat at the table of the Lord and the table of devils. You know, we're only to partake and go to the Lord for help. We partake of the Lord and we go to the Lord for help. We don't go to the devil for help. So why would you go to Egypt for help, which is a type of the devil and the world? Yeah, and sin. Why would we want to go to our former manner of life for help? Egypt typifies man's method, man's resources, man's wisdom, and his reliance on the flesh. Devils and their control over people. Why would we do that? Why would we allow that to dwell in our house? And no. So we need to dwell in his house and be the joyful mother of children. We must abandon all this self-sufficiency and learn to rely on God alone and God, go to God alone instead of running to the world, running to Egypt. We need to quit running to the world and run to the Lord. See? To overcome barrenness and dwell in his house, we need to overcome and deal with three issues. Let's look at these three issues tonight, okay? Because to overcome this barrenness and dwell in his house, how many want to dwell in God's house? We should dwell in the house of the Lord forever, the word says. So number one is how you regard and look at yourself. How are you looking at yourself today? Number two, how we regard and deal with change. And number three, how we regard and relate to God. Let's look at each one of these in a little bit of depth here. They can't spend a lot of time on it, but we'll look at them in a little bit of depth anyway tonight. So how we regard and look at ourselves. You know, we can never regard and look at ourselves correctly until we begin to understand who God is. Revelation, knowledge of God produces the right views of yourself. So you need to begin to know who he is and begin to know his nature. By knowing him, you can begin to know the right view of yourself. Matthew 19:19. Go over and read that. 19:19. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How can you love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love yourself properly, correctly? Oh, yeah. All love ourselves selfishly. We all do that. I mean, we feed it, we sleep it, we look at it in mirrors, we care for it, we make it up, we put it first. But we also put it down. We also hurt it. We also suffer pain and self-rejection. And we also, you know, tend to have some negative things. Sometimes people hate themselves. Proof that, yeah, we love ourselves. We have a hard time loving us, though. Because godly self-love is missing because we have a hard time loving us as God loves us. See? Why? Because there's no revelation of God. See, we've got to get a revelation of God. See, and so what is the revelation of God and why do you need it today? Well, I will tell you the revelation of God is a revelation of love because God is love. And to have God revealed to you is to have love revealed to you. How many want love to be revealed to you? Of course we all want love to be revealed to us. Why do you need it to be revealed to you? Well, unless you see love, you can't love. You have only an imagination of what love is. A lot of people don't know what love is. They only have an imagination of what it is. They have a mental assessment of what love is, but they have no revelation of love because they have no revelation of God. And they can't, if you don't have a revelation of God, how are you going to have a revelation of love? Because pure love is God. God is love. God is pure love. God is agape love. It has nothing to do with human selfish love. Okay? And see, we need that revelation. This imagination of what love is not good enough. A lot of people have an impression and of love and what it is, and many impressions of love are wrong. Okay, they're just not a revelation, because in order to get a revelation of God and love, you're going to have that spiritual mind in operation. You have the mind of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit to quicken your mind with the mind of Christ. And to most, love is acceptance. And we look at ourselves and we find ourselves unacceptable, so we regard ourselves as such. How many feel you're unacceptable to God at times in your life? See? Most Christians do at times. Okay, they feel that they're unacceptable. See? And for many, love, you know, is acceptance. So love accepts us, though, not on what it sees wrong with us, but on what it sees right with us. And if we've accepted Christ, that is the basis for our full acceptance with the Father. See? That's kind of different than the way we see ourselves. But that's the way the Bible teaches us. See? Because it's on the basis of what is right. And if we have accepted Jesus, that's what's right with us. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. See? And we can stand clean before the Father, and the Father sees us with the perfect love. Let's go to Matthew 19, verse 23 now. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, truly I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. What in the world is he telling them here? And when his disciples heard it, verse 25, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. See, the way men think, see? The way men think, this kind of love is impossible. This is hard to embrace. It is hard to conceive of such a thing as this. And see, we have to remember this to understand and have revelation. With man, this is impossible, see? With man, you can't understand. It's only with the Holy Spirit, see, that you can really understand these things, see? So with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. We got to look truthfully at ourselves and say, no way. You know, when we look truthfully at ourselves, we say, well, no way God could love me like that. But see, God looks and says, loved, accepted, received, no longer barren. See, there's no place found for rejection and self-hatred, self-rejection in love. No place found for that. See, we've been listening to demons, see, for so much of our lives that it's easy to be very self-rejecting, very much, you know, questioning our salvation, questioning are we even saved, questioning, you know, why would God have anything to do with someone such a mess as I am? And yet he does, and he wants to, because of the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin and all unrighteousness and make you able to stand before your God. Come boldly before the throne of grace in time of need, and he shall receive help. Hallelujah. These are truths in the Word of God that comes by revelation. So we need to get to know God. You know, King Saul was 42 years old and had a grown son before he ever built his first altar unto the Lord. You think he really knew God? I don't think so. I think he was very proud man, and he knew little of God's nature. That's right. And love we need to start at the altar, signifying being at the feet of Jesus. We need to start at his feet, like Mary. She sat at the feet of Jesus, but Martha was cumbered with cares of this life and running here and running there. They're trying to do all this stuff to be impressive with her home and how she could be a good hostess for Jesus and the disciples. And she was just caught up in so much other stuff. But Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are careful and cumbered. You know, I don't remember the exact word, but, you know, he said that to her. And he said, but Mary has chosen the right thing. We need to choose the right thing. Take a little hint from this right here. Choose the right things. Choose sitting at Jesus' feet, sitting at the feet of love. Can you imagine what that really is like? Sitting at the feet of love?
That's what Mary was doing in person. She sat at the feet of love and learned and listened and received. That caught her up into the realm of God's glory. Oh, and she just didn't want to depart from that. She was holding on to that. But here we see King Saul, 42 years old, and he'd never built his first altar until then. And we need to humble ourselves and learn. Saul was proud and thought he didn't need God. We need to go off into the altar to God's feet and sit at his feet to be a fruitful Christian. In fact, I'll just go read the scripture back in 1 Samuel here that tells you that what I'm saying is scriptural. That Saul had not built an altar the 42 years of his life. 1 Samuel 14:35. It says, and Saul built an altar unto the Lord. The same was the first altar that he built unto the law, unto the Lord. Yeah. The same with the first altar. He was 42 years old when he built that altar. Okay. So we're going to have revelation of his love. We're going to have to sit at the feet of the altar. In other words, sit at the feet of the Lord. Sit before his throne. Come boldly before that throne and learn of him and feast on him and learn love. Number two, dealing with change. Dealing with change. Okay? To overcome barrenness and dwell in his house, we need to overcome and deal with these three issues. Okay? Number one is how we regard it, look at ourselves. Number two, how we regard it, deal with change. Now, we'll talk about this dealing with change. God called Abraham out of his house. The house or the residence which one dwells speaks of serenity, security. A house represents that which is, you know, immovable, permanent, his house. Well, in the life of the believer, the house can be the greatest obstacle to change. Okay? A lot of people can't even see where they need to change because, you know, they've camped where they're at. They're comfortable where they're at. They park there and they're moving. And we got a lot of people not moving today, not getting anywhere because they're parked in something 20 years ago. And it's time God's been trying to get them to move on and change for a long time and they haven't done it. Well, hey, what are you waiting for? Be like Abraham and pick up and step out into the unknown and quit being afraid of it. Quit being stuck there and settled on your lees there. Hebrews 11:9-10. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise and is in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. See, whose builder and maker is God? We're looking for a city. We're not settled in this world system. This is temporal. We're looking for the city. That was Abraham. Abraham went from a house to a tent. What does a tent represent? A tent represents transition, flexibility, progression, and freedom. He could take up that tent and move somewhere, be somewhere else the next night. They have flexibility. You don't like living in a tent. I mean, I remember we had to spend a winter just living in a camper one, and it was cold. It was uncomfortable. We didn't have a home. We were living in a camper, and it was very difficult. The water froze, and we have to go to the truck stop to take showers so we could go, to church and do church on Sunday. You know, because our water froze up in the camper. And that happened more than one time. And we were living in there with a bird, too. I was keeping my daughter's bird in there in that freezing camper through the winter. That was 6 months we lived in there in that situation. And the winter didn't last the whole 6 months, obviously. But it was a long time before we actually found a place where we could live. But anyway, we were in transition. We were flexible. We were progressive. We were, you know, we also had the freedom to be somewhere, wherever. But Abraham is depicted as one who was continually moving and searching and looking. And God wants us all to be seekers. And certainly I don't wish that on anybody living in the camp in the middle of winter in Montana winters. It's cold. But still, God wants, that's not what I'm talking about. I'll just give you an example of our life. But one of the church's biggest handicaps is resistance to change. We're stuck and we don't want to be unstuck. We like it the way it is. You know, that's really hard to get somebody to move when they're stuck in a certain way. And we resist God prodding us to move on into unfamiliar territory. Well, I've always had these demons. I don't know what I'd do without them. I've always been bound up in this way in my life. I've always had these bindings. I'm kind of comfortable living this way. That's unfamiliar territory. To be free, it'd be a little scary to be free of all this and to be different and to change. Yeah, see, people don't like to change. They like the status quo. Don't mess with my ways. Don't mess with my life. I like it the way it is. Well, no. Jesus is about change. He says from glory to glory, from faith to faith. See, this is not something where we're stuck here. We've got to be movement. There's got to be movement. We don't have a stagnated water. We need to be in the river of God. The river is moving. It's alive. It takes us where he wants us to go. The wind, the spirit is like the wind. It blows where it will. May not blow where you want it to blow, but it'll blow where the Holy Spirit wants it to blow, and we need to be willing to go where the Holy Spirit takes us. Uh-huh. To the Baptist, or it's baptism. To the Catholics, what is it? Well, it's Mary to the Catholics, right? And to the Pentecostals, it's the gift and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we hold on to pet theology. And we stay and settle there. And God says, change, grow more, move on. Come up higher. There's more for you than this. Ask yourself, am I living in a house or am I living in a tent? Am I going back to the place of familiarity and security? Am I going to Egypt? Or am I ever conquering and claiming new spiritual frontiers? Or am I running to Egypt for my help? Am I going back to the familiar territory? Am I running back to that which is familiar, that which is worldly, that which is, you know, sensual, devilish, worldly? Yeah. Where are you today? Are you claiming new spiritual frontiers, going where you've never gone before in Christ? Or are you staying muddled with the same stuff? Same old, same old. That's where you're comfortable. Don't mess with my comfort zone. And then number three, dealing with God, regarding and relating to God. Okay? Number three is how we regard and relate to God. How do you regard and relate to God? Jeremiah, let's go over to the book of Jeremiah. Look at this a little bit here. Jeremiah chapter 2. And let's read here verse 13. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evil. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. A well is a fresh source of cool, refreshing water, the fountain of living water. But a cistern is merely for storing water and will eventually stagnate or run out, for it's not fresh. See, in our relating to God, we're going to have to stay fresh. We're going to have to stay fresh. Jeremiah 2:18. It says, and now what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt to drink the waters of Sihor? Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria to drink the waters of the river? What are you doing? God's people began to drink from the waters of the Nile and Euphrates, Egypt and Assyria. How could God's people look to Egypt, a type of Satan in the world, to quench their thirst? That's what we've been doing today. What are we doing today? We're looking to the things of the world to satisfy, and they will never bring satisfaction. Never. What are we doing? We need to wake up and realize that this world is not going to bring fulfillment. It's not going to bring satisfaction. It's not going to bring us the things that we need. Drinking from the water of Egypt, drinking from the water of Satan, drinking from the water of this world to quench our thirst, not going to happen. Christians fall into this very same practice, finding their satisfaction in the world. Well, what did the world say? I can't get no satisfaction. That's what the world sings. There is no satisfaction in the world. I can't get no satisfaction in this world. But you can get satisfaction in Jesus. But see, we've got to go to Jesus. We've got to be like Mary, sit at his feet. We need to learn to drink deeply from the well of Jesus. We need to be thirsty for him and his presence in our lives. We need to be hungry and thirsting for righteousness. We need to hunger and thirst for God in our lives. We need to daily be in his presence. Yeah, far too often, God's people rely on the polluted puddles and shallow streams of this world to quench their thirst, and it's not going to happen. Puddles and streams, this stream disappear in the times of drought, and I tell you what, it's a time of drought right now. And the Bible speaks of a time where they will go all over to find the word of the Lord, but they won't find it because it's such a time of drought, because they weren't filled with him. They weren't sitting at his feet when they could. Jesus says, still today, if any man thirst, though, let him come unto me and drink. Come unto me, you that are thirsty, and drink. Let God fill you. You try to fill yourself with all these other things, no wonder you have unfulfillment in your life. No wonder you keep coming up empty and you keep, you know, looking, somehow, Lord, somehow I got to get rid of this empty feeling in my life. Well, sit at Jesus' feet and drink from the fountains of living water. What are you waiting for, my brothers, my sisters? We need to sit at his feet. We need to partake of him. We need to drink deeply from the wells that never run dry. Never, never, Jesus will never run dry. You'll never run out. There's never going to be an end of what Jesus has to give you. There's always more at his feet. Quit going to Egypt. It will never satisfy you. Yeah, you'll no longer be barren, but you'll live in his house and be the joyful mother of children. He has promised, just receive it, receive it, receive it today. What are you waiting for? Don't live a bound-up life. Put away the darkness. Expose those hidden areas of your life that are lacking. And run and sit at his feet and get rid of the accursed things in our lives. That's whatever they may be. They may be an actual physical thing, or they may be things that you have accursed and allowed this thing to set up house inside of you and bring about the actions of the curse in your life, and you're not able to stand against your enemies because of it. Yeah, we need to be able to stand against our enemies. Some people are weary because they're not able to stand against their enemy because of something holding them back, something binding them up. Well, sit at Jesus' feet. He'll show you. He'll let you know. If you're really willing and wanting the truth, he'll open up the eyes of your understanding to give you revelation of what thing is there, just like he showed Israel. He said, look, this is what's happened here. You guys are holding on to this cursed object and this so-and-so's tent. And Achan had taken the idols, you know, and once they got rid of that, and Achan, you know, had to be dealt with under the law, which was death under the law, but we don't physically die. We just confess our sin to the Lord, and we get cleansed by the blood. But that's not the way it happened back with Achan, because Achan said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them. I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So he was not that they were to destroy everything. They were not to take anything. But, you know, he had done something and brought that which was a curse, and they could not stand against their enemies until they dealt with the curse. And sometimes we can't stand against our enemy until we deal with the problem. And by God's grace, we're going to deal with the problem, saints. We're going to find out what it is. We're going to deal with it. We're going to get rid of it. We're going to move on from that place. Put away the darkness. Put away those bindings. Put away the binding. Whatever the binding is, we're going to find out what the binding is. And we'll no longer be barren, but we'll be a fruitful, fruitful land. The church is called to be fruitful. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is called to manifest fruit. You and I need to be manifesting fruit from the Lord. We need to know his love, that he loves us, that he forgives us, that he cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness, and he will deliver us from every demon that we want to get rid of. He will. But if you don't really want to get out of agreement with it, you don't really want to get out of that status quo, then you're going to stay there for a while. That it's not necessary, but it happens to so many because they're not willing to go further. And I don't we don't like it. We don't like change. We don't like this, you know, upset things. Well, if I lived that way, I wouldn't be certainly where I am today, because we've had so much change throughout our lifetime. But I had to be willing and obedient for that to take place. And if you're willing and obedient, what is the fruit of that? You're going to eat the good of the land. You're going to eat the good of the land of the kingdom of God. You're going to eat up the blessings of the kingdom. And you'll be fruitful. You'll multiply. And you'll see God's abundant supply. And you'll see his blessing on your life. Not the curse, the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. The blessings of God, the open heaven. God wants you to have those things. He wants to deal with the pain and the heartache and the hurt of your life and bring you out of that thing that has held you in its grip for a time period. And it's time to come out of that darkness and into his marvelous light in these areas where the accursed have been held on to. Maybe this, the accursed is anger. You're holding on to anger. You're holding on to rage. You're holding on to something in your life that you think should be one way, and it's not working out that way. How many know sometimes things are like that? God has a higher plan than ours, and we don't always see the end result. See, we don't always see the end from the beginning. And in fact, most of the time we don't, and we are not always just willing to sit there and trust Jesus during that time while we're not seeing the end. And we're not seeing the desired end. We're not seeing the desired result. Will you trust him even when you're not seeing the desired result? Will you trust him then as well as when everything's going your way, when everything's going the way you want it to go? See, these are tough questions that we sometimes need to ask ourselves so that we can abide in him and partake of the truth and the life of God, the thing that God really has in our life, that may come out a different way than what we thought they would come out. And they may turn out very differently than what we wanted them to. But, you know, God is bigger than this world system of darkness. He's bigger than our little finite minds. So, do we know everything that he knows? No, we don't. Did we make the world? No, we didn't create the world. Jesus did that. And so his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And the bottom line is, though, whatever he does is the best when he does it. I'm not talking about what the devil does. I'm talking about what God does for you in your life, if you let him, is always the best for you. He has only the best in mind for you. See, that's what you don't often see. You look at the circumstances and situations. We all do that. We look at circumstances and situations, and we let them get the best of us, and we can't do that. We got to let God have the best of us. We got to let God have all of us. And we got to trust in him with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. See, that's the problem. Our own understanding is what causes us to even rebel against God and his ways. And our own understanding is riddled with demons, too. And we got to understand that the enemy has attached itself to our flesh. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So therefore, our own understanding, it can be polluted with demons. And we want the pure, unadulterated truth of God. And we can only get that spiritually from our spirit, see, because God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So we want truth. We've got to go where the truth is. We've got to learn to live spiritually instead of just sensually minded and physically, fleshly minded, see. That's where we can embrace truth and receive truth on a level that takes us much higher than the lower level of living that so many Christians do, and they're barren because they live on a low level of the flesh and the soul, and they don't live spiritually. Even though they've been born again spiritually, they're not living from the spiritual life. They're living from the soulish life and the fleshly life, and the fleshly life is not going to produce the things of God because it doesn't. Flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. It does not partake of the things of God. Hallelujah. But we are those who live spiritually and are spiritually minded. And those that sit at the feet of Jesus, not of Martha, that are caught up in the things of the world and running here and there, running there and here and not ever getting anywhere. And it's fretting away about life and everything in life and all the troubles and trials and difficulties and how bad it is and how difficult it is. How are we going to get through this? How are we going to face this? How am I going to work with so-and-so? How am I going to raise these children and get them raised right? How am I going to deal with those that are backslidden and falling away? Put them in the hand of Jesus. Sit at the feet of Jesus and everything will work out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these words tonight that you give me to share with these dear folks, Lord. We pray that they will take root and do what you would want them to do by the Holy Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we pray that you will just show us and continue to reveal to us at greater, greater levels of your love, Father, that we get revelation, knowledge of your love in our lives, that we would grow in grace, Lord, in love, and we would be able to regard and deal with change, and we would also regard and relate to you in the proper ways, Father, in the proper ways, Lord. And we would continue to grow up and mature in the Lord and just get filled up over and over again with you, Lord. Filled up with the Holy Spirit and more of God every day of our lives, Father, we grow in grace and truth, Father, that we're coming up higher. We're grabbing a hold of things that we didn't know before by revelation, knowledge, and understanding that you give to us by your Spirit, Lord. We thank you for this growth in grace. We thank you for putting these binding things behind us and getting them out of us, whatever it takes, Father. We thank you for revelation about the things that are still there that we can face, that the things that we might not have wanted to face even yesterday, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, so we could be changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of a living God, that you do the changing work in us as we will yield to that change. As we yield to the change, you could do your work. Lord, help us to be very yielding and, Lord, turning away from those things that are binding and cursing to our lives. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good, good, good. All right, folks. That was our word for tonight, and I hope that you got encouraged by that and blessed by that. We're going to go ahead and take a short intermission now and or break or whatever. I don't like to use the word break because we're not going to break anything here, but except the grip of Satan, right? We're going to break his grip. But I don't want to break any bones or break any body parts. We'll take a time here just in between here, okay? And so let's go ahead and do that now, and we'll come back, and we'll cast out some demons for a while. And don't forget, next week we're going to receive communion together and go into that spiritual experience here together. If you want to be a part of that, go ahead and get you some. I use grape juice and cracker of some kind, preferably unleavened, unsalted, whatever, but I just do that myself. You do whatever you have at home will work, okay, as long as you just consecrate it all to the Lord. Amen. All right, so we'll come back here in just a few moments, and then we will go ahead and start on the road of some deliverance tonight. If that's all right with you, then That's what we're going to do here in just a moment, okay? All right.
Look up, look up, look up at what's before you and don't stop. Go on, move on, determined not to give in and be strong. Believe me, for my promises of all possible realities, the seemingly obscure way is the best. Don't settle for the way it's been. Get ready for what's coming in. Do all you can, make sure you'll pass the test. Look up, look up, look up once before you and don't stop. Go on, move on, determined not to give in and be strong. For your redemption's drawing nigh, so be my servant, do or die. Look neither to your right nor to the left, only hope. I'll help you overcome and cope. Hold on, my love, be faithful unto death. Look up, look up, look up at what's before you and don't stop. Go on, move on, determined not to give in and be strong. Look up, look up, look up at what's before you and don't stop. Go on, move on, determined not to give in and be strong. Look up, 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 look up.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I rebuke the devil. I rebuke, you know, I tell you, I've been with people and ministered to people that were facing death, been with people who died, and I just think we should deal with the spirit of death tonight. We're going to break the curse of death, the spirit of death over people's lives. He says, you know, the death is always trying to do it dirty work, okay? In this world, people die. And I understand it's appointed unto man wants to die. And I understand that. But a lot of people are dying in their lives. And they're just dealing with the spirit of death. They're not dead physically. But the death is trying to overtake their lives, overwhelm them. And we don't need that spirit operating. I bind that spirit of death in Jesus' name. And maybe some of you may have something in your body that's trying to kill you physically as well. And maybe some of you are dealing with some sickness and disease. It's horrible. And so we just rebuke the spirit of death right now. Right now, we rebuke that spirit of death in the name of Jesus. You get out of them right now. Move out, out, out in the name of Jesus. Come out. We break the curse of death. We break the curse of death. We break the grip of death over people right now. We break the grip of death. And we command those spirits of death to go. Right now, come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let it go. Yeah, all the way out. Come out now in Jesus' name. Right now, that spirit of death, we're talking to you. Come out, 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 out, out. All the way out. Spirit of death, trying to kill people, trying to hurt people. Come out in Jesus' name. Hurt them in their walks, sabotage them, bring death into their life in one way or another. Come out. Death to their emotions, death to their mind, death to their physical body, death to any way that death is working. We rebuke the spirit of death right now. Come out in Jesus' name. All that death spirit, all that dark death spirit, go in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out, 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 out of there. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. Go right now. Go. Go in Jesus' name. Spirit of death, go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus against you. The blood of Jesus against you. We come against the accursed thing, whatever that accursed thing is in your life. You know what it is. You call it out if you have one there. Come out. In Jesus' name, we break the curse of the accursed thing. In Jesus' name. And repent for allowing it to be as long as it has been in our lives. And we repent for that. We confess it and say, Lord, we don't want it anymore. We confess it as sin. It's wrong. It's something we don't want to hold on to and embrace any longer. We command it to go right now in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go all the way out. All the way out, whether it's objects that are cursed, objects that need to be gotten rid of, or whether it's rock music or some kind of ungodly, worldly thing that's being held on to, whatever it may be, or whether it's pride, whether it's anger, unforgiveness, you've got to go. Come out of there right now. Come out. 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 Whatever you are, you got to go. In Jesus' name, go. Whether it's sexual sin that you've been holding on to, come out. In Jesus' name, go. Up out of there. Move. In Jesus' name, up out of there. Go, 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 go. Go, go, go. Come out. Come on out. All the way out. All the way out in Jesus' name. Go, come out, come out, come out, come out, come on out, all the way out, up and out in the name of Jesus right now, up and out in the name of Jesus. Come out, come out, keep coming out, keep coming out of there, up and out of there, up and out of there. Go, go, whatever that accursed thing is, that accursed pride, you go right now, all that pride, come out of there, all that pride, all that sexual sin, come out, that sexual, holding on to the sexual thing, come out, 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 come out of there, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way, in Jesus' name, come out of there, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, go. Keep going. Move. Loose them and let them go. All the way. Keep moving, moving, moving. Up out of there. Loose them and let them go. Keep going. Keep going. In Jesus' name, all the way. All the way. You're defeated by the blood of Jesus right now. Defeated by the blood of Jesus. You have to come out. You have to come out. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name, those fears that we talked about, what fears of those do you have? We command those fears to go out right now. Go, 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 go. Claustrophobia, come out. All that fear, claustrophobia, afraid of tight places, come out in Jesus' name. Fear of spiders and insects, come out. Fear of snakes, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Fear of failure, you come out. Come out. Fear of failure, come out all the way out. All the way out, all that fear. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there, come out. Some people are afraid of water. They're afraid to get near the water. They won't go in the water. They're afraid to swim in the water. They don't know how to swim, never wanted to swim because the fear of water has got them bound. Come out, the fear of water. you're getting in the waters, come out, come out. If you're getting in the lake, the ocean, come out, come out. If you're drowning, come out, 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 come out. All the way out, go. In the name of Jesus, come all the way out, all the way out, all the way. If you're flying in an airplane, come out, come out, come out, come out. If you're being alone, come out, 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 come out. If you're being alone, come out. Jesus' name, go, 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 go. All the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name. Fear of getting sick, come out in Jesus' name. We don't want to get sick, though, do we? We're afraid of sickness, though, we'll bring sickness. If you're afraid of sickness, fear of sickness, come out, come out. Fear of sickness and disease, come out, 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 come out. That's going to paralyze you. Come out, all the way out, go. We break the curse of fear of sickness, fear of getting sick, fear, come on, all the way out, go, in the name of Jesus, come on. We're not going to be afraid of sickness because by his stripes we're healed. We're not getting sick in Jesus' name. And if we are sick, we're getting healed. Thank you, Lord, because we're healed in Jesus' name because he healeth all our diseases. Fear of doctors and dentists, come out, come out. Fear of accidents, come out, come out, come out. Fear of having an accident, fear of your family members having accidents, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, up and out. Your worry, anxiety, insecurity over the future, come out. Come on, all that worry about the future, come out. Fear of the future, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, fear of speaking in the public, speaking before class, before church, or before people. Come out, fear of public speaking, come out, come out, come out of there, all the way out. All that fear, come out. You deal with the fear tonight. Fear of cancer, come out. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out, go. Fear of cancer, come out, 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 all the way out. All the way out, all the way up out of there. Go in Jesus' name. All the way, go, go. Fear of being dirty, contaminated with dirty germs and things. Yeah. Go all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. Yeah, Howard Hughes, that's what that guy's name was. Howard Hughes. Yeah, he also was involved with a lot of other things that were not good. Keep coming out of there. Go all the way out. All fear of germs and dirt, bacteria. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Virus is here. Come out all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Keep going. Come out, fear. Come out, fear of the dark, fear of night. Come out all the way out. Jesus' name. Fear of gaining weight, fear of being obese. Come out, come out. All the way out, all the way up out of there. Come out in Jesus' name. All that fear of being obese, overweight, come out in Jesus' name. Go, the blood of Jesus, go. Come out all the way out. Move in Jesus' name. Come out. Come on, all these fears got to go all the way. Jesus' name, all the way out. Fear of not getting any sleep, come out in Jesus' name. Fear of insomnia, just fear staying awake at night, come out all the way out, all the way out. Or fear of sleeping, some people don't want to go to sleep because they have nightmares. Come out, fear of sleeping or fear of not getting sleep, come out, come out, come out. All these fears, come out, 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 come out. Fear of not sleeping, come out. Fear of not being able to sleep, come out, come out, come out. Fear of making changes or changing in your life, or fear of changes, come out of there, all the way out. Fear of having changes, fear of having to change, fear of what change would look like, come out, all the way out, go, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, come out, all that fear, come out. Fear of change, come out, 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 all the way out. All that fear, fear of talking to people, fear of talking to strangers, come out. Fear of speaking to them about the gospel, come out. Fear of rejection, come out, 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 come all the way out. Fear they're going to reject you if you talk to them about Jesus. come out, all the way out. All, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus, see. You got to recognize that when you speak for Jesus and tell people about Jesus, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. They may feel like you because the demons want to shut you up, right? They don't want you talking about Jesus. They don't want you witnessing to people. Come out of there, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, all the way out. All the way out. Fear of crowds, fear of being around people. Come out. Fear of women, fear of men. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there, all the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Fear of what's happening to our country. Come out. 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 All the way out. Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Our country is going the way of Rome and Greece and all these other countries. You know, they got into homosexuality, perversion, and pedophilia and all these things. And it's nothing new under the sun, Solomon said. And that is so true. And the same thing that's being done now has been done before. There's nothing new. Okay? Excuse me for a minute. I got to... Got to sneeze. There. All right. Keep coming out. Well, maybe a spirit came out through the sneezing. Huh? Keep coming out of there. All the way out. Let them go. All the, however they come out. Get rid of them. Come out. Come out of there. Yeah, we see the downfall of America just like all these other nations that have gone before us that have fallen. Right? And it's the last days and the end must come. So if now is the end, then all right. But otherwise, we pray against this stuff, and we pray America will have a revival and a renewal and wake up. Yeah, before it's too late, before it is destroyed. Trying to provoke nuclear war, really, with the bear up there, the eagle and the bear. Okay, whatever. Somebody doesn't have their heads on right, right? Come out in Jesus' name. Go all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Go, go. Pray that we may live quiet and peaceable lives. That's what we have to pray. And this is not a quiet and peaceable life if they're going to go to nuclear war. I mean, and they're trying to, you know, persecute the Christians and, yeah, do more than that to kill us if they can get away with it. So we pray against that, and we pray for a quiet and peaceable life that we might be able to have the gospel have free course in this country. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We rebuke those devils that are evil and trying to they hate us. They want to kill us. They want to do away with us. We rebuke those devils in Jesus' name and bind them up in Jesus' name. So you will not prevail against the church of a living God. You will not prevail against us. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We come against those spirits trying to destroy America and the freedom that we have here in this country to worship the Lord. We rebuke those demons. Tell them to stop it in Jesus' name. You will not prevail in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not. Thank you, Lord. Trying to wear out the saints of the Most High? Mm-mm. No, you're not going to prevail. The blood of Jesus against you, demons. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All right, some more fears. Fear of, fears of what? Fear of authority figures, come out in Jesus' name. Fear of authority figures, come out, come out, come out, come out. Fear of Democrats, come out, just all the way out. Fear of demons, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Fear of those who are controlled by devils, come out, come out, come out of there in Jesus' name. Go all the way out, all the way out in Jesus' name. Loose some people, let them go. Loose them, and loose them, and let them go. All the way out, all these fears. All these fears, fears that things aren't going to work out the way you thought they should or wanted them to, come out. All those fears about that, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you know, people spend so much of their lives bound by fear. That's what dealing with all these fears tonight, because there's so many. Fear of when you sin that you're going to go to hell. You fear that you committed the unpardonable sin. You come out of there. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. Up and out. All the way out. All the way out. out. Come out in Jesus' name. Fear that you've committed the unpardonable sin and you're going to hell. Come out. Come out. Fear of going to hell. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Keep coming out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Fear of authority figures. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Fear of policemen. All the way out. Fear of politicians. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Up and out of there. Go. In the name of Jesus. Go. 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 Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Keep coming out. The blood of Jesus against you. Demons of fear. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. Panic attacks. Come out. In Jesus' name. Who is that? Lauren Daigle says she's been having panic attacks. Well, yeah, you should be. You've been fellowshipping with homosexuals, letting a homosexual write some of the songs you're doing. And really? I mean, you know, the Bible says, come out from among him and touch not the unclean thing. And you're having mental problems. It says Lauren Daigle's having mental problems. That means she's having demon problems. Well, yeah, she's been compromising on Christianity. And if she is really a Christian, she's compromised the Christian walk. And so no wonder she's having these demon problems, right? You open these doors, you have bindings that will, spirits that will hurt, trouble you and cause panic attacks and these other mental problems that she's having. And yeah, anyway, that's a, Lauren Daigle needs to really get right with the Lord and go find some deliverance minister to cast out the demons instead of going for psychiatric care and pills and, oh, Lord. Anyway, that's just my opinion, okay? But I think it's biblically based opinion. We pray for Lord Daigle that she will come to the knowledge of the truth in these areas and her eyes would be open, that she might have need to repent for some things maybe and confess some things and being involved with these homosexual friends that she has in Jesus' name and compromising and letting them be a part of her album, her latest album. Lord have mercy. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Thank you for the church. You love your church so much, Lord. And thank you that you love it. Lord, seal this deliverance to us tonight that we've received. Thank you for this time that we've had together tonight. Thank you for it. And thank you, Lord, for more deliverance, Lord, as we keep growing in Jesus. We give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you, folks. It's good to be with y'all tonight. And I pray for you. Pray for the people who listen to this broadcast. And I pray for the people who support it.
In the morning. thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my
song, but I knew that it would be because I see how long it is. But just anyway, how quickly 2 hours went by tonight. But that's time, you know. You look back and wow, how quickly time has gone by. But it is a short work that the Lord will do on the earth, he said. Something great to look forward to. So it'll pass. This world will pass. The world and the fashion thereof will pass away, and we'll be with Jesus forever. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That's a comforting thought, really. I mean, no more sickness, no more demons to cast out. No more problems with the people and the demons that are in the people causing the problems, right? Oh. How encouraging it is to know that a short work the Lord will do on the earth, and he will return soon. So, anyway, the Lord bless you tonight. I thank you for being here and listening tonight, and I pray the Lord strengthens you and encourages you and gives you the strength that you need to face every day with him. Yeah, because we could do all things through Christ. It strengthens us. Amen. All right. Well, good night, folks. We love you, and we'll see you back next Friday night. This is a holiday weekend, so a lot of people get a 3-day weekend this week. They'll be out camping and going places and spending time, you know, doing things. But we're having church Sunday, so if you're in the Billings area, come by. Have church with us. 235 Moore Lane in Billings. God bless you. Good night.